Hello, this is Larry Clark from Excelsi Music Publishing with another From the Composer series. Today we're talking to composer David Samuel. David, good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to have you with us today. We're going to start talking a little bit about your background in music and how you got started into composition.
Okay. Well, I'm born and raised in Pensacola, Florida. Of course, I did the music growing up. I started playing by ear, first of all, playing in church, just picking out notes on the piano, and then one thing led to another, and I started to get really pretty good at it, and so my parents decided that, you know, it'd be good if you actually start taking lessons, so right. I took piano lessons growing up as well, so I would do the church thing, and then I'd play at recitals for, you know, after so many weeks and months of piano lessons. And then I decided around high school that I would actually go into music and music education, to be exact, because I had a lot of influential band directors that pointed the way out for me. Also in school, I actually picked up playing the trumpet as well.
Uh-huh. Right.
And then I decided to go to college at Pensacola Junior College. I studied under a lot of professors there. And then the next thing I know, I was at Troy University, transferred over to Troy University, and I got my bachelor's and master's degree in music.
Nice. Did you study any composition with specific people or mentors that guided you in that direction?
My music theory teacher was Dr. Michael Coleman at PJC. I learned a lot of theory from him, forming chords and chord substitutions, things of that nature. And then when I got to Troy University, I had a semester with Dr. Carl Volrath and studied with a very popular arranger in Ralph Ford.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So you said you're a pianist sort of first and foremost, and you play a lot in church. How has that influenced like how you write music?
Some of the chords, not all chords that I play at church, will transfer over to, you know, writing music for certain ensembles. But it did help a lot. You know, some of it is like test and trial. Will this work? Will this not work? When you play it with a group, it might sound one way, and then it's like, that's not exactly what I wanted to go for. So you want to go back and rewrite it. Definitely some elements from church actually go into my writing as I'm thinking through writing music.
So, I guess to clarify to the folks out there, I would say probably a lot of gospel influence.
In your
style of the pieces that you've done.
A lot of gospel, and also jazz, because the type of music that I play in church, it's definitely got a lot of jazz elements into it, a lot of motifs and riffs that transfer over into the type of gospel music that I play. In my church.
Well, and definitely your pieces, at least thus far, that Excelsi has taken on, definitely have sort of that jazz influence in terms of the chord structure. It's very lush harmony.
Right, right.
And I think, band directors and students will certainly enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
It's also probably important to point out that you are a band director right now.
Yes, sir. I am the assistant band director at Foley High School in Foley, Alabama.
Awesome. So, you've taught at various different levels of band?
I have. Just my first job was at Escambia High School in Pensacola, Florida. I taught grades 9 through 12, and then after 3 years, I was the head band director at Pine Forest High School. I taught for 3 years there as well, and now I'm teaching here at Foley High School, which is, it's kind of unique because I'm teaching 9 through 12, but I will actually go over to the middle school and help out with grades 7 and 8. Run the sectionals. They would have after school practices, so I would actually listen to their rehearsal and work with them you know, just to get them ready for their performance. And I also teach a sixth grade beginning band class every Friday. I'm what is called the Fun Day Friday band director. Yeah, for the sixth grade. It's pretty.
So that means they must like you.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, all of that experience, you know, gives you great insight to what students can and can't do, and I think that's reflected in the pieces that you've written for us, mm-hmm. for sure.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about your process. When you sit down to compose, is it first at the piano, or do you just think of things in your head? You know, give us an idea of how that goes.
Well, it's kind of a mixture of the two. There are times where I'm sitting at the piano, and I'm like, hey, that would be... that'd be a pretty good idea. So I'll actually try to remember it, or if I'm actually near a computer while I'm at the piano, I'll go ahead and, you know, write down the melody. And then there's sometimes I'm just like walking the halls of the school, or, you know, I'm at the beach, or just walking down the beach or something like that. And it'll just hit me instantly. And I'm like, wow, I don't know where that came from, but I got to get to something and write this down really quickly. Right. So, I mean, it's kind of a mixture of the two, and, you know, it depends on how the day is going. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of up in the air on
what sure.
the ideas on that.
Sure. Now, is it usually melody first, or do you get some ideas of chord progressions that then lead you to a melodic material?
Most of the time it's melody first. And then quickly after that, what chord structure I can put under the melody, as, you know, as it's developing.
Mm-hmm. So then you said you put it on computer. So obviously you use a notation program, to input to your music.
I do. I use Finale.
Yes. Is there like, do you have a space in your room with it set up, you know, like a little studio that you work in most of the time?
Currently, right now, before I moved to Foley, I had my own little office. But right now it's wherever I can get my laptop to fit. And
yeah, right.
It's been a touch and go with the whole moving situation, because I gotta right now my office is like a dumping ground for all boxes.
You still have to unpack. I got that.
We'll unpack it.
Movie's not that much fun.
it's not at all.
So is there a certain type of day where you're more creative, day or night, or, you know, 3 a.m? I don't know.
Probably at night. You know, going to bed, you know, going over the day in my head and all that kind of stuff. Probably, I'd say mostly at night. There'll be a couple of times where I'm in the middle of the day and, you know, probably we should be paying attention to something, but I'm like daydreaming, and that daydream will actually turn into some type of melody in my head, and I'm like, okay, that might work too. And then I totally miss something, like in a conversation or something, or I'm sitting in a meeting, heaven forbid if I'm in a teacher meeting, and I kind of dream off a little bit, just a little bit.
Right. Faculty meetings. Yeah. I think all the band directors listening can certainly relate to that.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. So do you ever get a point where, you know, you've come up with maybe sort of initial idea and then it just doesn't seem to want to go anywhere, and you sort of are, you know, what they call writer's block?
I do. There's actually quite a few files saved on my computer where I'd started a piece of music and it just didn't go past maybe the first 8 or 16 measures. And I'm like, I don't know what I'll do with this, but I'll just... I'll hang on to it and I'll table it and maybe come back to it and be like, can I add something to this, or should I just hold on to it for a little bit longer? And, you know, some of that has actually turned into, I've held on to it for a couple of years. And hopefully something will blossom into that, but, it's still just sitting in storage.
Well, do you find though that sometimes you're pretty far into a piece and then you you get a spot where you just can't seem to figure out, you know, what's the next part. And if that happens to you, you know, how do you get out of that?
Not too many pieces that I've had that happen to me before. But a couple of times when it does happen, honestly, I listen to, you know, different pieces of music, and, you know, maybe an idea will stem from that.
Right.
And, you know, with the whole jazz and gospel background, a lot of it is you listen to this and then you listen to another song and then you listen to another song, and then you'll take elements from each piece and then you'll make it into your own.
Right.
So I find that listening to other things will actually help me progress the piece a little bit if I'm having a little bit of trouble figuring out where I want to take this piece next.
I think that's true. I think a lot of us composers do that.
Right.
I always encourage young composers also to listen to music they don't like.
Right, right, right.
Because it might stimulate you on an idea, you know, that you hadn't thought of before.
Right, right. And especially with transitions, when you're transitioning from one idea to the next idea, or you're trying to, you know, you've heard the melody for a few, for quite a few bars, and now you're like, let's change it up just a little bit because we don't want the player to get bored for playing the same thing over and over and over and over again. Just right. Something a little bit different to play.
Yeah, certainly. That's where the composition really happens, is during the transitions.
Right.
And I think probably from your piano background and gospel and jazz, that's probably, I would say, one of your strengths. Because you have to do that sort of improvisationally too sometimes.
Yeah, quite a lot. Especially growing up when I was playing keyboard, there was the director would give us the music and he told us to learn it exactly like the tape. Meaning like there was no music in front of us. There was, we basically would have to pick out notes, and you know, the chords by ear. We tried to play it and mimic exactly what, you know, the artists would do in their recordings.
Right.
So that actually helped with the ear training a lot too, as well.
Yeah. I think, unfortunately there's not enough, playing by ear and improvisation taught to students, especially in the classical setting.
Oh yeah.
So that's certainly helpful for, you know, folks like you have done it a lot.
Yeah.
So has the way you've written music changed over the years as you've, you know, sort of gotten more experience?
It has. If anything, you know, writing in college and stuff, and then, you know, you're teaching high school and they're not able to play quite like the music that you wrote for college, like, because I was writing on like a college level, and right. Those guys are able to play a lot because they, you know, if they can't play it, they go to their private instructor and they get lessons on that type of thing. But when you're dealing with high school, as a band director, sometimes you get the kids that won't practice, and then you're going to have to, you know, as a conductor, try to do a little bit of practicing for them while at the podium, just to make sure that they're understanding and they're getting it, they're playing the right notes and all that good stuff. Right. So it's definitely changed over the years. The more I teach, actually the more different the writing's going to be, the writing style's going to be, in terms of writing for the player.
Yes. So is that a product of you having a better understanding of what technical limitations younger students can do?
Yes, I would agree with that 100%, that it affects how I'm going to write for my younger students.
So you mentioned that you know, you listen to lots of different music in order to sort of get out of you know, get some ideas for other things. What are you listening to right now? What's sort of your,
ooh,
you're into?
Oh, well, but
what's on your iPod, they used to say, but I guess you can't say that anymore. What's on your phone?
There's a lot of stuff, actually. I'll listen to, movie soundtracks. So different composers from movie soundtracks. I would listen to, of course, you know, band music by some of the greats, you know, Gustav Holst and all them. And I'm into this new jazz fusion group called Snarky Puppy.
Yeah.
They're wow. They're phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I'd listen, there's this one guy, Jacob Collier. He's his understanding of theory, and he's got some YouTube videos out. And,
yes.
And how chord substitution works for him, and just his mindset and approach to things. It's mind blowing. And I'm thinking to myself, if I had like maybe 5% of this guy's knowledge, I'm like, I'd be pretty good.
Right.
So I listen to that. Of course, I still listen to gospel. I listen to a lot of jazz. Gordon Goodwin is one of my favorites. And yeah, I'm kind of versatile in that element. So quite a lot of things play, and you know, to stay relevant with the kids, I do have a little bit of the pop music going on too.
Yeah. I think that's good too. And I always say that there's good stuff at any genre. You just have to find it.
Right.
For sure. Well, that's excellent. Again, this is Larry Clark from Excelsi Music Publishing with another episode of From the Composer. Thank you for listening.